Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
International aid agencies have warned that war-stricken Sudan is in danger of becoming another failed state as aid workers struggle to save lives there. Earlier this year, the World Health Organization said starvation in Sudan is almost everywhere in the country, and that has continued. I'm joined by UNICEF representative in Sudan, Sheldon, yet to discuss this further. Sheldon, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Good to be here.
What have you witnessed in terms of the devastation you've seen in Sudan?
You know, I've served in war-torn countries all around the world for some 30 years, and I haven't seen anything like we've seen in Sudan. When you look at the size of this country, it's massive, five times larger than France and Germany combined, and you see millions of people who are displaced by this war. 5 million children alone are displaced. We see some 14 million children requiring assistance, not just food assistance, but all kinds of assistance. Assistance to ensure they can continue their education, to ensure they can be vaccinated, to ensure they have access to healthcare, to ensure that they're protected from violence. So this is a massive catastrophe we're dealing with here.
And sometimes, and we've discussed Sudan, obviously, on this program previously on a number of occasions. And what I find startling is that the scale of the crisis is very difficult to get your head around, Sheldon. When you say that the country is five times larger than France and Germany combined, that, to start off with, is difficult. But I know that some food security specialists are afraid as well that as many as 2.5 million people could die from hunger by the end of this year. I mean, that in itself as well is startling and frightening.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get blinded by numbers. After a while, they don't mean anything. But when you see and talk to children who've been displaced multiple times, who've gone from one part of the front lines to and then moved to another community and been hosted yet by a third community, you just hear these harrowing stories. And of course, it's about food, but it's about far more than that. Really, it's a protection crisis. Food is a multiplier, or lack of food is a multiplier. Hunger is a multiplier. So we see, you know, more children exposed to child labor. We see more children exposed to early marriage. We see more violence against children. So it's really every element of a child's life is at risk here.
Okay, so the starvation exacerbates all the other vulnerabilities. Is that what you mean?
Exactly.
And what's the solution then?
Well, I mean, I think the fundamental solution is an end of the war ensuring that all parties here follow international law, that health centers, schools are not targeted and not bombed, that aid can go where it needs to go, that aid workers can be on the ground working with these populations. I mean, really, we look to all parties to this conflict to put children first. And unless they do so, I'm afraid we're going to see more of the same.
Until that happens, we have projects like the Primary Education Emergency Support Project in Sudan. Can you talk to me about the importance of this?
Yeah, I mean, education, of course, is often not talked about when it comes to emergencies, but it should be. In Sudan, some 80% of children are not in school. And of course, schools provide an environment where children learn their mathematics and learn how to read and write. But it's more than that. Schools also provide a protective environment, an environment where children can talk to other children, can talk to teachers and others, other adults with whom they have a relationship and can talk and get support from. So unless we are able to get kids back into school, unless we're able to get displaced families out of schools, unless we're able to pay teachers, then I'm afraid this is going to continue. This is going to have effects for generations of children, and we need to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Why aren't we talking about Sudan in the West? Why isn't it given more prominence, given the scale of the starvation and the loss of life and the displacement? Why do you think that is?
It's an excellent question. And frankly, as a humanitarian, it's very hard for me to understand. I think people have a limited attention span. We all see the headlines from Gaza, from the Middle East, from Ukraine. And of course, Rightly, we do need to pay attention to those crises, but we can't forget about other crises in other parts of the world that are also ongoing, because if we do, it's going to, again, spill over to other countries, and we're going to deal with a much, much larger problem.
Yeah, and even if it doesn't spill over, I mean, that's a huge risk, as you say, but in and of itself, the fact that millions of people are at risk here, it's forgotten largely, isn't it? Is that how people feel in the country, Sheldon?
Yes, I mean, you know, everyone watches the news and people say, you know, what about me? What about our communities? I hear that question all the time. It's hard for people to understand here why there's so much attention to what's happening in Kiev and what's happening in Gaza when such horrible things are also happening to them. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge issue here.
You mentioned it's spreading to other countries, the conflict and so on. We've seen how high the Middle East is on the US agenda for that fear as well, that it might spread to other countries. And repeated attempts by Antony Blinken and other officials from the US, high-ranking officials, to try and broker a peace there. Has there been the same attention from the US and the West and the European Union, and I count ourselves among that as well, in trying to resolve the conflict in Sudan?
Yes, I mean, I think Western powers do understand the importance of solving this conflict. But to be very honest, it's not going to be a Secretary of State in the United States or a Foreign Secretary in the UK that's going to solve this. This is going to have to be solved by people in Sudan, the parties themselves coming to a conclusion and understanding that this is in nobody's interest, that the population loses, children lose. It's got to be solved by Sudanese themselves.
Finally, you mentioned the various vulnerabilities that is being exacerbated by the problem of food starvation or a lack of food, and this is in the context of war. But the UN is saying that sexual violence is an epidemic in Sudan as well. I mean, how difficult is that to deal with? As you are a UNICEF representative there, it must be extremely worrying.
Oh, absolutely. Gender-based violence, sexual violence is off the charts here. We see women, girls being raped. We see all sorts of unspeakable abuses. This, of course, is a tremendous violation of child rights, of the rights of women. It's damaging to a society, and it's got to stop. But it's off the charts here. There's no doubt about that.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate your time. Sheldon Yett, who's UNICEF representative in Sudan, thank you very much indeed for joining us from the country this evening.